Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911 unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4 black bag. GTA in progress 401 parking structure section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Rob.
484 suspect is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, High Frank 401 is a route.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat. Brought to you today by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization since 2002. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of this fine international organization. And we're glad that you're with us today, Tuesday, the 21st of March, 2017, because we've got a lot to talk with you about. We have a lot of information we want to share. We want to talk about a couple of new services coming up, a brand new TV show, our new digital magazine. Whoops. I'm giving it all away before we even get in to the heart of the show. That's how excited I am. I am just so excited to be bringing this to you. I've been waiting for a long time to be able to announce several of these new products and services and training, and man, I'm just so glad that the day has come. We are going to be talking today in our show also about the newly released retail security deaths, loss prevention, and police deaths that happen in retail environments. We're going to be talking about gun laws and a whole bunch of other things here on the Private Officer Beat. We're just so glad that you are joining us, because you're going to really be the first to know about some of this information and some of these new services that we're going to be sharing with you today. Of course, we want to thank our sponsors. We definitely want to thank Body Armor USA. If you need, and you do need, body armor, it doesn't matter if you're corrections, security, law enforcement, if you're working in public safety in uniform or plain clothes, you definitely need to be protected. In fact, today when we talk about some of the on-duty deaths and things going on in the news, it's going to confirm that you definitely need that body armor. And our friends over at BodyArmorUSA.com, they've got what it takes to protect you. Everything from stab vest if you're working in corrections, jails, body armor of all levels, some of the best gear you'll find any place. Visit them. Armor, I'm telling you, Body Armor USA, they've got the armor that's going to protect you, and they're going to give you a discount just for saying that Private Officer sent you over to them. And they're going to do you right. They're going to help protect you. They're going to get you the best gear out there, the best body armor for the best prices. Check them out online, BodyArmorUSA.com. We have really a lot of information to share with you today, but before I get into that, I'm a little frustrated and a little put out over some of the attitudes and some of the people who work in private security. I know that's going to be a news flash. I know this is all going to be the first time that you've ever heard me say anything about this. But if you are like me, and you've been around the business for a while, and you've worked loss prevention, you've worked uniform security, you've worked campus security, then you can appreciate what I'm about to say. But last week, there were several people that I saw on Facebook going back and forth. In fact, 8 or 9 people at least got involved in the conversation about how the security field is not a profession. And no reason to be professional. When we're talking about professionalism, you can't help but to include private security and private law enforcement in that topic. Let me give you a heads up. Let me give you some 411. Let me put it out there straight to you. Private security is and has been a profession for a long, long time. And if you're working in the industry, you're one of those just here for a few days, just here for a paycheck, I understand where you're coming from. But with almost 2 million private security officers in the U.S. and more than 27 million private security and law enforcement in the world or more, how can you not classify? How can you not put the security industry into a profession category? Because, my friend, it is a profession. Not everybody comes in at a static guard position, a security officer. Not everyone comes in and stays there. I have often had radio programs and webinars and various news stories that we've sent out showing the vast, huge industry that private security really is. There are so many categories of private security. When you say security, you can't lump everyone into that same category because you have loss prevention, you have cyber security, you have electronic security, you have investigators, you have bodyguards, personal protection, close protection, loss prevention, retail. I mean, in the last few years, even retail security has added organized retail investigator to their area of the security field. Not every security person is doing the same job. I use this analogy over and over and over again. Just because somebody's a doctor doesn't mean they can give you brain surgery. Doesn't mean that they can operate on your heart. It doesn't even mean that they can provide adequate emergency care if they stop along the road at an accident. Because a doctor is not a doctor is not a doctor. There are so many degrees, categories, and levels. Someone could come along, and in fact, they have come along at accident scenes where I've been involved and responded to, and said, I'm a doctor. Let me help. Well, what kind of doctor are you? I'm a pediatrician. Well, pediatrician, you know, yeah, they have some basic understanding and skills, obviously, but they're not emergency physicians. They don't work in the ER. They don't work in trauma. They don't know exactly what needs to be done. We've had veterinarians stop numerous times over the years. I'm thankful for veterinarians. And yes, a lot of the medical care that they give is sometimes similar to that of humans, but they're not emergency physicians. They're not paramedics. There's a difference. They have a general idea, and they do go through a lot of training to be veterinarians. I have nothing against them. They are well qualified in their category. But the thing I'm trying to get across to you today is that there are so many different degrees, levels, areas of being a doctor, from podiatrist to brain surgeon. That's a pretty long leap from head to toe. Same thing with attorneys. There are many people who are attorneys, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of attorneys in the U.S. We have one of the most litigious countries in the world, meaning we sue more people than anybody else. But attorneys, even though they all go through a standard of training before they can sit for the bar exam, they specialize. Not every attorney is a real estate attorney. Not everybody is an estate attorney. Not everybody is an accident injury or a specialist in workplace injuries. Or, you know, not every attorney can represent somebody for murder, for bank robbery, or even for a low-level misdemeanor, because that's not their area of expertise. Attorneys and doctors, even accountants, have different areas of specialization, different areas that they have more training in, that they really have picked as their category. And private security is no different. There are many loss prevention agents, many uniformed patrol officers, many private police officers who have worked those areas for so long that they are professionals. They are experts in that category of private security. They may not be cyber crime investigators. They may not even be static guard quality. They're so far ahead of that. They've got so much training, so much experience, that they are in a profession. I just took someone, in fact, just today, was talking to somebody on the phone, and I took someone the other day to Indeed.com and a couple of other job site locations online and showed them. Punch in security director, punch in security chief, punch in loss prevention manager, regional security manager. You've got people right now making $75, $80, $100,000, and that's just in the security profession. So not everybody who comes into security is making $9, $10, $12 an hour, and not everybody stays there. An attorney or a doctor comes in, they always come in as a generalist. They don't come in as, you know, specialist. They're a general practitioner. But over time, they learn their craft. They learn their skill. They take more training. They get further certified in more areas, and they become a professional in that specific category. I just learned over the weekend, thanks to TV, that some veterinarians specialize in things like neurology, cancer. I mean, who knew? I thought all veterinarians were just generalists, but it's not that way. Private security are not just guards. They're not just pigeonholed into one area. You can branch out. You can specialize. And anytime that you can do that, anytime that you can go from making a minimum wage all the way up to hundreds of thousands, you're in a profession. So it irritates me. It aggravates me to see people who still want to put down security, even though that's how they're making their living. They're making their living doing that. And yet, they want to talk bad, they want to badmouth the industry. Like any other industry, any other profession, any other job, there's going to be pros and cons, good and bad. There's going to be those who, you know, shouldn't be there. We have them in every industry. It doesn't matter if we're talking about electricians, pharmacists, pharmacist techs, teachers. Look at all the bad apple teachers every day we see in the news being arrested for having sex with students. Look at all of the cops. We're having problems. People are people. They're human. So we've got good and bad in every profession. But let me tell you, the bottom line is, don't you for one moment think that private security isn't a profession. Because more and more every day, private security is expanding, widening. Their duties are widening. They're being asked to do more. They're being specialists in more areas. We have security companies in the U.S. that they specialize in evictions. They go to the properties and help evict persons. We have judgment recoverists, specialists, who go and they recover judgments when people have been sued. We have ORC investigators who are highly trained, and there's a number of our larger retailers, and I've even found out there are some who are security consultant ORC specialists who contract to some of the boutique smaller stores and work with local law enforcement during intense investigations to search out the gangs, to recover the stolen property, and to have people arrested. There's so many areas the private security is going into. So let's not get all carried away and say, oh, security's not a profession. They're just a bunch of guards. We're just here. No. If you've got that attitude, it's time for you to leave the business. Hey, I got to take a quick break. But when I come back, we're going to talk about fatal shootings. We're going to be talking about a new report that was just released by D&D Daily News, which is a loss prevention news organization. We're going to be talking about constitutional carry and gun law changes. So much more coming up on today's edition of the Private Officer Beat. We're glad you're with us. We're coming right back. We are. We're coming right back. Hang on. Hang on. All right. Get yourself a cup of coffee, a glass of tea. But join me back here in about 3 minutes. You're listening to...
Still doesn't know the real story about that dent in the van.
I've never told her that I used to be a lifeguard at a nude beach.
I've never told my kids about the time I was arrested for streaking.
My friends don't know that I still sleep with my teddy bear.
But they all do know one thing about me.
And that I'm an organ donor.
That I'm an organ donor.
I'm an organ donor.
I'm an organ donor.
And that's one thing that's too important to keep a secret. Because I could save somebody's life. How cool is that?
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us again on the Private Officer Beat. We're back from those PSA, public service announcements, and some good music. We want to remind you that every year since 2004, we have been doing a Security Officer Appreciation Day and award program. This is really the time when we jointly recognize those men and women who have gone above and beyond the call of duty, those who have been brave in times when they face danger. We want to recognize those people who come to work every day and do a good job. We want to recognize those people who have been in the profession for a long time, instructors, officers, managers. And this is your time, your opportunity to nominate those people for a Private Officer Award, and there's no cost. It's completely free. In fact, it costs us because we have to organize this. We have to mail out plaques and certificates. We've got to do all of the work behind the scenes, but it's well worth it every year. Now, you have, I believe, until April the 10th, but don't wait that long. Go to our website at privateofficer.com. Go to our social media or send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and tell us that you want to nominate someone, and we'll send you the link to the form. The Private Officer Awards Program coming up April 25th. Actually, I know somebody's got a birthday that very day. That's going to be a Tuesday this year, April 25th. We won't mention any names. We won't get anybody in any trouble. He loves cake and ice cream, just FYI. All right, so remember, be sure to get those nominations into us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And if you need more information, just send us an email. We'll be glad to help you out. There's a lot of information and a lot of things we want to cover today in today's program, but there's only so much time, so we're going to kind of cut it short. I do want to go over some statistics so far in the first almost 90 days. We're not quite at the 90-day number right now, but we're almost there. We're at, about 83, 84 days into the first year, into the first 3 months of 2017, the new year. So far, we've had 23 officers killed, 15 as a result of gunfire. We have had a number of law enforcement and private security killed. Just in the last few days, 27 law enforcement officers killed, 23 private officers killed. Law enforcement had 7 law enforcement police officers have been killed of gunfire. 15 private security officers have been killed of gunfire. Of these law enforcement and private security personnel killed, a number of them, 9, were killed in the retail security environment. And we're going to go over that a little bit today. And then we're going to share the rest of it on the LP Zone tomorrow. 2 police officers died of 9/11 related illness, 1 of an assault, 6 automobile accidents, 1 drowned, 1 duty related illness, 1 exposure to toxins, 7 from gunfire, 2 from heart attack, 1 motorcycle accident, 1 was struck by a vehicle, 2 died from vehicle pursuit, and 1 from a vehicle assault. 7 killed by gunfire, 15 security personnel killed by gunfire. We're not trying to run a marathon or a race. This isn't about comparing them with us or us with them. This is about trying to bring the topic of danger in to the conversation. Anytime that you wear a uniform, a badge, you have any level of authority, there's going to be danger. And private security personnel, supervisors, managers, and company owners need to understand that. This is not 1963. This is not 1967 or even 1977. This is 2017. So much has changed. And the security field needs to catch up. They need to understand, recognize, and respond to the dangers, the reality of what's happening. Another aspect to the violence that security is seeing daily, weekly, is that more security officers are armed. More private personnel are engaging criminals, people who are wanted, people who have committed crimes, people who are going to resist authority. And the numbers prove it out. The numbers clearly identify this is happening. So far this year, in the first 83, 84 days of 2017, private security have killed 33 people. Private security, not law enforcement, have shot to death 33 people. According to a law enforcement media release I saw just over the weekend, about 200 people have been killed by law enforcement. Last year, private security killed around 300 people. Some, most, were justified. Some were not. And again this year, some of these fatal shootings were not justified, and a number of private security officers have been arrested. And they are facing some very serious charges, things that they're going to be almost impossible to beat in some cases. And some of these private security officers arrested this year are still incarcerated, waiting for trial, and they'll probably be incarcerated because they have very high bonds. It all boils down to training. It all boils down to experience. It all boils down to applicant selection. Things that we need to think about in this profession. Things that we need to do different. Things that we need to really have an understanding and a hold of, so that we don't find ourselves in this position of facing arrest, and not to mention lawsuits. Times are changing, but it has been a violent start to 2017 for both private and public law enforcement. There's no doubt about it. We're in a different world. We're in a different time zone. And it's time that people understand that. 2016 Retail Violent Death Report released by D&D Daily, which is a retail security news outlet. They have an online digital magazine and they do some other stuff for loss prevention. But their report came out within the last week. There were 374 retail deaths reported in 2016. 28% were employees. 28% were employees. 13.1% was shoplifters. And 2.4%, which was 9, was law enforcement and security. We're going to cover this more in depth on the LP Zone tomorrow. I mentioned this report because most people don't think of loss prevention as a dangerous profession. They don't think about it, oh, it's just shoplifting, oh, they're just a couple of petty thieves. That's not the case at all. The majority of these cases involve criminals who, under no circumstance were they going to give up or go to jail. As I've said many times, working in loss prevention back in the 70s and 80s and 1999 and even 2002, what you see is a progression in force being used against loss prevention and retail managers and even retail clerks that try to intervene in theft. What are we going to do about it? How can we prevent it? We need to begin talking about that. I'm working right now with several loss prevention groups about how to train better to prevent injuries and deaths of LP agents and uniformed security officers. I've said this many times as well. Mall security officers really are like cops, mall cops. They respond to all the domestic fights, all the trespassing, all the suspicious persons, all of the burglaries, all the thefts, all the robberies, rapes, assaults, even murders. until law enforcement can get there. They've got to be prepared for anything and everything. Different world, different time, different place. When I come back, we're going to be talking about some of the new services and training opportunities and things that's going on here at the Private Officer International Corporate Office, as well as Armor College. We're really excited about 2017 so far. Many good things happening, and we want you to be part of it. We're coming right back after these announcements, so don't go away.
And I remember just opening my eyes, and I got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit Wounded Warrior.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat on this 21st day of March 2017. I don't know what the weather's like where you're at, but where I'm at, here in beautiful North Carolina, about 7,000 feet up in the mountains, we have 83 degrees. It's going to be 83 degrees today. Beautiful, sunny, warm. And this time of year, and during the fall, it's very prevalent for wood fires, forest fires, and unfortunately we have a number of those burning right now in North Carolina. Many fire departments from across the country all the way to California are here to try to help beat back the fire. Unfortunately, every year we lose a lot of woodland to forest fires, but it is part of the progression. When wood burns, if you've ever had a farm, which I have not, I've never been Farmer Brown, but I've lived in the country and I've seen farmers burn their fields, and that puts down some good ashes and makes some good soil and brings back things green. I've seen that time and time again. So that does occur in the forest as well, and hopefully not too much is burned, but I'm telling you all that because we're sitting up here in the mountains of North Carolina as we broadcast today. We've got a lot of things happening around us, actually, but we wanted to get this program out to you today and cover some of these topics and let you know about some great new services and things happening here at Private Officer. Before we do that, we want to talk a little bit about firearm law. The laws in many states have loosened up greatly, even before President Trump became President Trump. The laws in the U.S. for concealed carry and for firearm amendment to, our Constitution, many believe that it's our right to bear arms, to carry arms, and it is. And now, for the first time, many states are seeing that is the Constitution, that is what the public wants, and so we are seeing some situations at job sites where that the new laws and the Constitution are butting up against business owners. There are still no laws on the books that I'm aware of. And we researched this before we came to the show today. There's no law that I'm aware of that says any business owner must allow you on the property with a handgun or with any type of firearm, whether it be in your car or on your person. There have been many high-profile employers, including Disneyland, Disney World, Walmart and Sam's, many restaurants, Target, and others, many high-profile employers in the last few years who have come out against firearms on their premise. Despite the argument that you're just making that an unsafe zone for employees, you're just making that unsafe for the customers, you're making everyone there a victim, they don't care about that. What they care is that they own the business, they have control over the property, the building, the land, even if they're only leasing it, they still have control, and therefore they have the say. Right now, there's a push for something called constitutional carry. About 19 states have passed laws that now say that you don't need a handgun permit. You don't need a CCW. You don't need a CCP or whatever your state calls it. You don't need any background check. You don't need any training, and you don't need any paperwork to carry a concealed firearm, as long as you're not a convicted felon or otherwise restricted from being in the possession of a gun. 19 states now give you the authority to carry a concealed weapon without doing anything. They have come to the conclusion that it is your constitutional right. President Trump wants to take things a little bit further. In the states that still require concealed weapons permit, he and some other senators and Republicans want to make it so that if you do have to have a gun permit, that permit is valid in every state. I agree with that. There are so many conditions, so many different requirements. I do a lot of work, and you may or may not know that we have schools in and around Virginia and D.C., Maryland. We do a lot of work up there. And in Maryland, it's very hard to get a concealed weapons permit. They don't recognize permits from other states. And even if you're a police officer, they give you a hard time. So now there's a push to have every firearm permit, every CCW, recognized in every state. And that's going to make it a lot easier for people who travel. If you have a permit from Tennessee or Georgia or California or New York, it's going to be valid in every state. That's the push. I believe that that will probably come to fruition this year, before the year is out. There are many states who will push against it, but if it becomes a national law, if it becomes a national federal right, then so be it. There's nothing that those states will be able to do to prohibit you from crossing state lines as long as you have a concealed weapons permit from someplace. The downside to constitutional carry, if you live in Wisconsin and you have constitutional carry and you're not required to have any type of firearm permit, if you do leave the state of Wisconsin, and I'm not sure if that's one of the states, I'm just giving that as an example, once you leave that state and you cross over into Illinois or Missouri or some other state that may require a concealed weapons permit, you're dead in the water. You can't carry concealed because you have no permit, and therefore, you know, carrying concealed in that state would be against the law. I'm kind of addressing all of this today because there's been a number of major news stories over the last few months about employers terminating employees for carrying firearms on the premises, even with a permit. There's been a number of incidents where employees with handguns have been able to interrupt armed robberies and other crimes occurring. In fact, just in my home state, a pizza driver was able to, unfortunately, had to shoot and kill an armed robber at a pizza restaurant. But if he had not done that, who knows what might have happened. The robbery suspect was armed, and he was threatening to shoot the cashier and the employees of the restaurant. Another situation, I'm sure you've seen this, an armed citizen in Florida was able to stop his car. An officer was being brutally attacked on the interstate, and the citizen shot and killed the attacker. This is happening all over the country. So as a security officer, as the agent for the property, you may run into this situation. You may be called to this situation by an employee or the property, the client, business owner. And they may want you to eject someone who's carrying a firearm, even if it's with a permit. They may want you to escort an employee off the property if they have a firearm. Unfortunately, regardless of what the law says about whether you can or cannot bring a gun to work, an employer has the last say, and I doubt that even the U.S. Supreme Court would ever change that, because it's like you and your home. You have control over your home. Certainly, if you don't want someone to smoke in your home, you can tell them no smoking. You don't want a firearm in your home, they can't bring a firearm into your home. Same thing with the job place, the workplace. So you may have to call, you may have to be called to remove someone who's armed. Verify if they have a permit, explain to them that it's private property and that the business owner would prefer that they take the gun off property. What happens if they stand their ground? We have seen this over the last few months. They refuse to leave the property. Well, now they are violating the law. They're trespassing. Once they've been given notice, if they refuse to leave, they're trespassing. And at that point, you have no choice but to call law enforcement and to either have them removed voluntarily or arrested. Unfortunately, as you see across the country, many people easily become non-compliant. Many people automatically think that they're attorneys, that they know the law. They don't have to do this. They don't have to do that. They don't got to listen, blah, blah, blah. And that's just going to make things a whole lot tougher on you and on them. In the long run, it's better for them to comply. But of course, you're going to get some who just won't do it. We don't want you to get yourself in a situation, especially if you're unarmed, where you have to use force. It's better for you to call law enforcement. If you're armed, again, what starts out as a simple request for them to leave the property may come into a situation where you're in a gun battle. We see that quite a bit. Most shootings between law enforcement and perpetrators and security of perpetrators are over minor, minute infractions, traffic infractions or trespass or shoplifting or disorderly conduct. It just doesn't make sense, but that is where we're at today in the world that we live in, and you have to be prepared for that. I don't know really what else to say other than, don't get into a constitutional battle. Don't side with them, because in your position, you have to side with the client, with the business, with the school, with the church. If they don't want a gun on the property, you have to remove it and take action. If they don't want you to be armed, same thing. You can't carry a firearm. You got to be very careful on what you do so that you don't get in trouble. We're going to take one more quick break here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. We're going to come back and talk about some of the new services, products, and things that's happening here at POI, and how you can get involved. And we're very, very glad to be with you today, and we're glad that you're listening to us wherever you are. Like I said, I'm always astounded when we track and see where people are listening from, where they listen to our shows months and even years later. Some of these places, countries, my gosh, I just can't fathom. But thanks to the internet, and that's why we chose the internet a number of years ago. We started out as a local radio show. We started out on FM. We went to the internet, and it's the best thing we've ever done. We'll be right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Are cracking down on seatbelt violations. Buckle up day and night or expect a ticket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live, they'll be on the lookout. Cops write tickets to save lives. Click it for ticket.
You're listening to the Private Officer Beat on this Tuesday, beautiful Tuesday, the 21st of 2017, and we're in segment four of our program. We're talking today about, well, a little bit of everything, really. We're talking about the violence that has really pounded private security and law enforcement in the first 90 days or less of 2017. We've talked a little bit about the recently released loss prevention retail security death report that was released by D&D Daily News, and we're going to be talking more about that tomorrow on the LP Zone. And we're talking also about carrying firearms and having to enforce the no carry of firearms on private property. And now, oh, we also talked about professionalism and profession, and definitely private security is a profession. And now we want to talk a little bit about our new services and training being offered, and we're very, very excited. I'll also let you know that we're in conversation with folks for brand new Armor College and Technical Institute campuses in Ohio, Florida, Iowa, and New York. And I think there's one or two other states that I'm overlooking, but we've had a lot of interest, and we're very thankful for all of those who see the value in our public safety school. All right, some of the new things that we're doing here at Private Officer, we've got a brand new company. It's called Verified Protection. Verified Protection is very much like Angie's List, a little bit different if you're familiar with that. We will be releasing that in, sometime in April. We will be releasing Verified Protection, and the way that that works is that we're going to be verifying private security companies, alarm companies, investigators, security schools, EMS schools, some other technical providers, and folks that are involved in public safety related services. We're going to be verifying their licenses, their insurance, their regulatory compliance status, checking to see if they have any lawsuits or legal judgments against them, if they have a clean slate, or if they're a problem company. There's a lot of benefits to the user. You know, when a person wants to hire a security company, they may or may not know how to do all of the verification. So we're going to do it for them for a fee, of course, a small fee. And it's going to be a huge benefit both to the client, to the customer of these services, as well as to the provider, the security company, the trainer, the alarm company, and all of those. Once they're verified, they will go into a database and a list for verified protection, and we'll be able to refer them out and be able to let the customer know that these are verified, that they are legit. In this day and age, too many people are operating without a license. Too many people are operating after they've been shut down. Too many people don't have necessary insurance. They're not compliant with the state laws, and so on and so forth. So there's a huge, huge benefit. If you want to get your company verified, it's very, very cheap. And we're going to be telling you in the upcoming weeks how to do that. And it's going to be a huge benefit for you and for the customer. We also have an additional method of being accredited, something that we have done for some business members of POI for a number of years. We will have a process in place where you can obtain true accreditation for your business, your officers, your school. And again, this is a huge benefit to you to be able to say that you are an accredited business. Again, we'll be sending out more information in the upcoming weeks, but it's something that needs to be done. We've worked on it for our members for a number of years, and now we're going to offer it to the general public. We have a lot of different services. We're always looking, we're always thinking, we're always putting our heads together and looking at things that we can do to make our industry better, our association offer more to our members, and these are just some of the things that we've been working on for a number of years. Now, I've told you recently that we have a brand new TV program coming out and a brand new digital magazine, and we're very excited about that. We've been working on this for a number of years. We just haven't had time to put it all together, but we recently did complete all of the major steps. We're actually talking with a production company right now about filming a reality type show that will really showcase private security in a good light, and we're not sure where that's going to go, but in the meantime, we'll be highlighting some of that on our own digital TV show coming up on our own digital platform. So be looking for more information about that as well. We have a lot going on between Armor and POI, and we have five different companies. If you're a chaplain, a minister, we have something for you. If you are a medical provider, EMT, paramedic, we've got something for you. You know, if you want to start a business, we have about eight different packages that we can offer to you, very inexpensive to start a business of your own. We can consult with you. So many different ways that we can help you, but you have to reach out to us because we don't know who you are. We don't have a crystal ball. We broke it a while back. Anytime that you need help 24/7, just email helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Well, that's going to do it. That's going to wrap it up for today's edition of the Private Officer Beat. We're so glad that you've been with us. Remember to spread the word. Forward our radio shows and our newsletters over to your coworkers, your managers, your friends. Get them involved. And again, let them know all the services, products, training that we do provide. And I think they'll be surprised. Until the next time, friends, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you right here on the radio again tomorrow on the LP Zone. Thanks for being with us. God bless.